Breaking news this morning reveals that Trump has been cooking the books for years. But it's going to take a lot more than creative accounting to get him out of the trouble he now sees in Syria and the Ukraine. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Find us each week wherever you find your podcasts, as well as on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Breaking this morning, uncovered tax docs obtained by ProPublica indicate Trump could have kept two sets of books.
Only two?
Well, this is the mystery, isn't it? There's inconsistencies in these ones that may amount to financial fraud.
Really?
One example, and I think the most exciting one about this one, is an example from after Trump actually took office in 2017. Told a lender he had got twice as much rent from one building than he reported to tax authorities. Now, we've seen the separate court rulings.
This is in New York City.
Well, we've got New York City. These are from regarding New York City as well. We've got the two rulings from New York, one from New York and one from Congress, that Trump needs to turn over these tax returns. Once those ones come public, I should think some fascinating insights.
Well, I don't think there'll be anything new. We know this man cheated everybody, so why not cheat the tax man? I mean, as a matter of fact, it's from New York, right? Does anyone in New York not cheat the tax man? Now, had you paid honest taxes, you wouldn't be fit to hold public. I shouldn't smirch New York that way. No, really many, many people for many years, long before Trump was a president, said he always fixed the books on his properties and his taxes and the like. What will this mean, though? That's the bigger question. What it would mean is after he leaves the presidency, he could be tried for fraudulently filing New York tax returns, city and state. And these carry hefty penalties. But while he's president, that's unlikely. It does, though, put a dent in his honesty that some of his followers will say, this is a bit too much.
Last week we talked about the US withdrawal from Syria clearing the way for a Turkish invasion. Things seem to be going largely as expected. Honestly, there are so many different strands to pick up here. A lot of analysis. Ed, what's going on?
Well, a couple of things are going on here. One is the Kurds are stronger than anybody expected, so they're putting up a pretty damn good fight. The second thing is Trump is really sorry he did this, because not only is he losing allies in Europe, some of his staunchest figures in the United States are backing away. He did it at the wrong time. When he needs people, he has got Lindsey Graham and other people saying, wait a minute, can I stand behind this guy? He's not standing behind the military. He's not standing behind constitutional issues. He chose the wrong time. But the sad, sad thing is ISIS is already making its presence felt.
I believe Trump reckons they've got the two most dangerous ones, but any of the others that escape, well, that's Europe's problem anyway.
Oh, wow.
As far as it applies back to domestic politics in the States, the House of Reps has condemned the withdrawal. Republicans, as you say, they can't defend this one. Trump has released a fairly childish letter he sent to Turkish President Erdogan, doubling down on the economic threats. And he's doubled down on his "they didn't help us in Normandy" defense by saying, well, the Kurds are no angels. And admittedly, there's probably something in that. If you can find a fighting force in the Middle East that's on the side of the angels, I would very much like to meet them, Ed.
I think that's what the Bible was about.
Yeah.
There hasn't been anything conflict since the Bible was written. Remember, I was there. puts any kind of thing that's decent on anybody's hands. These are bloody battles there, and they do not end. They've been going on for thousands of years. They'll continue to go on.
I did want to avoid too much impeachment talk this week, but just putting Rudy Giuliani in the spotlight. Firstly, like many others in the White House, ignoring subpoenas, playing the part of the loyal servant. But Ed, I can't shake this feeling that it's going to only be a very, very short matter of time before Giuliani and Trump try to eat each other alive.
Well, let's start with Giuliani. Giuliani is for Giuliani, like Cohen was for Cohen. So it won't be long before this bus rolls around the corner and there's a lot of pushing match will go on. Who has the strongest arms here? Probably Trump. And he'll push Giuliani under the bus because Giuliani can't get away from these two guys who are now suspect of trying to rig U.S. elections by illegal payments. There's somebody else you haven't mentioned, and this is Congressman Sessions or ex-Congressman Sessions. Now, here's a guy, when these guys are trying to push people under the bus, who's going to get on one side or the other and make the big push. Because Sessions is a guy to be known to be a dealer. And wherever he gets the biggest deal, he's going to take it. Notice Giuliani's attorneys quit. And they quit because they think they'll be disbarred if they go any farther with him. So Giuliani is in the hottest water he's ever been. But watch this space. Just like the Mueller investigation, I think we're going to see people go to jail who were near the pool but weren't attending the party. So if there's some splashing around of convictions and things like that, some people, including Giuliani, will be disbarred, and he's likely to go to jail.
Just one other name I wanted to mention as well. The Secretary of Energy, Rick Perry, has been subpoenaed and dragged into the Ukraine mess. Allegations, again, he could have been a cat's paw for Trump.
Yeah, that's true. As Secretary of Energy, he was handling oil issues. But also, remember, he is from Texas, where he was dealing with oil issues before he got into this job. And he's known to be a wheeler dealer. So he was trying to urge something, and it's not clear whether it was anything to do with the Bidens, but to get something for him and his kind. He's under indictment in Texas for abuse of power. So he will try to cut some kind of a deal to stay out of jail. But it's looking very likely that we have two people who are going to be ex-congressman and ex-member of the president's inner circle and a member of cabinet who may be rushing to push other people on the bus, under the bus. And Mr. Mulvaney, the president's erstwhile head of his own office and head of the budget office, has his hands on somebody's back for a quick push because he does not like trouble at all.
And while we're in this arena, problems don't stop for former Trump fixer Michael Cohen, owing $1.9 million to the IRS.
Well, 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 well. That's probably the tip of the iceberg. They've probably given him a deal here. I wouldn't be surprised if he owed them 10 times that much. But how could Trump be clear of any charges regarding the IRS when his main lawyer is now been caught dealing underhandedly with the IRS? And by the way, there's a whistleblower who says there are people in the Department of Treasury trying to keep Trump's business from getting into the street. That means it's going to come out very soon. How this man could wage all these wars is beyond me.
And in the administration, regardless of all this talk of corruption, Kevin McLennan is out as acting Secretary of Homeland Security. Wants to, I believe, explore options in the private sector and the old classic, spend more time with the family. Now, it's not exciting in and of itself, but it's bad news for the DHS, no leadership agenda, essentially, and underlines the problem that has haunted the Trump administration from the beginning. High turnover and empty roles still in so many positions.
Well, almost everything's empty. And when Wilbur Ross goes to jail, everything will be empty. The Trump administration reminds me of the old adage, you know, boy, the company you keep.
Mm.
And these guys are scoundrels. And so the DHS guy said, hey, I've seen this game before. I'm not going to be holding this bag. And that's why he's getting out. He's trying to get a job while he can.
Mm.
Because he sticks on much longer, he will not be employable. And he's a young man. So he's out because he wants to be employed. And there are going to be other people coming forward from the State Department and everyone else making peace while they can so they don't get ensnared and face jail time. So they might as well come up, tell the truth, and not get caught in the lying game.
Saudi Arabia, a couple of things here. Firstly, the Trump administration sending 1,800 more U.S. troops to the Saudis in response to the oil fields attack. Trump defending the move by saying they buy hundreds of billions of dollars worth of merchandise from us, not only military equipment. And Saudi Arabia, at my request, has agreed to pay for everything we're doing. Saudi Arabia has agreed for us to pay everything we're doing to help them. Is the U.S. military now a mercenary force?
Yes. Quick answer, absolutely yes. And they're mercenary force, not for the United States, but for the president of the United States. This is truly disgusting.
Russia, however, making inroads to Saudi Arabia as well, a region where, let's face it, they've been about as popular as mud previously. Putin himself making a capital visit. What's going on?
Well, the Middle East has been the turning point, the most difficult point, the place where all wars start and never end. So Putin can't be left out of this. He's got to think of warm water ports. He's got to think of oil and energy and other things and strategic positioning. That's what got them into Afghanistan. So this whole peninsula is up for grabs. Putin can't let this go. And clearly, the crown prince now has it both ways. He can put the U.S. against Russia, Russia against the U.S., and never pay a nickel for any troops.
Well, I think we've had too much fake news this week, Ed, so I've got to get some real news to take the taste out. Back home in domestic matters, the Ohio opioid trial kicking off. The opioid crisis, as we've spoken about previously, killing scores and scores of Americans, more than 130 every day dying from overdoses. Now, settlement talks are ramping up. Reports that three major drug distributors and two manufacturers working on outlines of a settlement, which would include $22 billion in cash over time, plus up to $15 billion worth of overdose antidotes and treatment drugs. Thoughts on this one?
Well, this is the settlement for tobacco, isn't it?
Mm.
And the way to get people out of these things is to have a big program like this that becomes a national program. So I think the new national program in the United States and here too, we have this same business going on, drug testing for kids going to these singing festivals. It's all the same things. These are opioids, and they have to become bad news in the community where they're being pumped. That's how that money is going to be used, to turn this into bad news in the community. There'll be songs and rap music and so forth and saying these drugs are bad for you. A real antidote would be having people feel good about themselves.
Mm. And just finally, this is an issue we've talked about at length as well, Ed. Following a murder conviction in the Amber Geiger case, we've seen another case of a black person shot in their own home by police. A woman playing video games with her 8-year-old nephew. Police officers responded to a simple welfare check with guns drawn. An officer, without ever identifying himself as police, spotted her through a window, shouted for her to put her hands up, and immediately fired a single shot through the glass. Her nephew, incidentally, still in the room as this was happening. I mean, it's just another case where obviously people, black people, cannot feel safe even in their own homes.
You named it. They're black. So if you're black, you're shot, even in your own home.
Mm.
This will not turn out well for anybody.
US of Ed is produced in the studios of 2SER in Sydney. Right now is 2SER Supporter Drive. We are a not-for-profit community organisation trying to bring you independent media and stories. To help support 2SER's mission, go to 2SER.com/support and give whatever you can. Ed and I will be back next week to talk the latest in US news and politics. Subscribe wherever you find your podcasts and check us out on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.